The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hand. And bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Could you imagine 2,000 years ago doubting that a resurrection had taken place? Because, I mean, it's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-a-historical, monumental occasion. And so having a little bit of doubt that what these people are telling you is the case, and then you get the nickname Doubting Thomas for the rest of human history. It sucks for him, but it is what it is. But the thing is, throughout history, oftentimes this doubt is painted as something evil, something bad, something to be avoided at all costs. But look at Thomas in the gospel today. Thomas doubted. The Catholic Church still canonized him a saint. So if Thomas, even with his doubts, is still able to be with God right now in heaven for all eternity, what does that say about our doubts? It tells us that they're not in themselves evil. They're not good in themselves either. They're morally, they're neutral. It's what we do with those doubts that are important. Thomas, even with that doubt, was still open to the movements of the Holy Spirit, still open to grace, still open to the truth, because Christ is truth. In his doubt, he still sought out truth. He still sought his Lord. I guarantee you he wanted it to be true when he heard the other apostles say that Christ has risen, that they had seen him. But without seeing it with his own eyes, he found it very hard to do. And so St. Thomas, again, is a model for us, because we all have our own doubts, our own questions. We all have our own issues, perhaps, with church teaching, with dogma, with doctrine, maybe even with the Blessed Sacrament. Maybe we doubt whether or not Christ is really, truly, substantially present in that Eucharist, that he really comes down on that altar every single Mass. It's okay if we have those doubts. But what that doubt is a call to delve deeper into the truths of the Church, of Christ and his Church. To delve deeper into the mystery that is Christ himself. It is a call to be open to truth and to follow it. So that means that we have to do our own due diligence, our own study, our own research. Not to let it fester, not to let that doubt fester and to turn to something evil, but to allow it to call us, to pull us out of whatever that is into God's graces and into his light and into his knowledge. So we have to research. We have to look up when we have questions, when we have doubt. We ask our priests. We do research online. We go to the catechism. But we have to also make sure that we don't just go to worldly sources for what the church believes or what the church teaches. We do have to do that once in a while because, I mean, we need to know what the world holds and what they think. But the church has a lot to say. I mean, quite a lot, substantial amount. We've spent the last 2,000 years as a community of believers reflecting on the scriptures, reflecting on what Christ has revealed to us throughout history. We spent all this time thinking and, surprisingly, writing it all down. We could, one individual, if they were to spend their entire lives from birth until death studying and researching and figuring out, and they would never get through all of the stuff that we have written and thought about on our doctrines, our teachings, our beliefs, everything that concerns Jesus Christ. And so there's always room to seek out that truth, to seek out the truth of Jesus Christ and delve deeper into those mysteries. My brothers and sisters, we have those doubts, we have those questions, but we have to make sure that we don't let that doubt fester, but instead answer that call of Christ to go deeper into who he is and what he has revealed to his church throughout the centuries, so that we can, in the face of our doubt, say with St. Thomas, my Lord and my God. And Christ, in turn, can look upon us and say, blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. This morning, we have, I believe, a video. Hopefully it'll pop up there shortly. So please sit tight and we'll continue.
Our parish church stood on the corner of Fremont and Rollins for 95 years as a light of Christ to this community, welcoming thousands of people through its doors. We want to make sure that it will continue to be light shining brightly for the next 100 years, welcoming future generations.
85 years ago, the Sisters of Loretto founded Holy Family Catholic School in their mission of forming disciples of Jesus Christ through faith, community, service, and academic excellence.
In addition to the school, the Education Center serves as a home and a place for children in religious education.
When I walk inside Holy Family Church, the first thing I see is the altar. I see the beautiful paintings that are up in the front. I see the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Stations of the Cross that surround the perimeter. And that is a sense of comfort. It's been there forever. It's been there for our family. And it's comforting to know that it's going to be there for generations to come.
As you know, we're just beginning the Easter season, and Easter has two major themes. This theme first of the resurrection of Christ and proclaiming that Jesus who died on the cross rose triumphant. And through his resurrection, we can have a share in his eternal life. The other theme is that of proclamation. Jesus wants his disciples to continue proclaiming the good news.
Holy Family Church is a wonderful Catholic church built, designed in 1927, built in 28 by Emmett Martin, my grandfather's brother. And my grandfather, Albert C. Martin, had a practice in Los Angeles, still exists today. And Emmett was his younger brother. And Emmett had a specialty, which was Catholic churches, and he did a great deal of them.
The campaign is important because the church needs some retrofitting, and because the school definitely needs to be upgraded and modernized.
In recent years, we completed phase one of the master plan. Students now have a purpose-built transitional kindergarten classroom. Our middle school students each have a homeroom class, and our Gaines program was reconfigured to better suit the purposes of the classes taught there.
This is one of the most beautiful churches I have seen. And its beauty is not only in its statues and the glass-stained windows, but also in the people who gather here Sunday after Sunday, listening to the Word of God, receiving the Body and Blood of Christ. And we want to make sure that you are safe here, even if, God forbid, an earthquake should take place. That's why we're working towards retrofitting this church so it continues to be a safe place where you gather Sunday after Sunday, proclaiming and listening to the good news.
On the bottom floor, we'll be creating a wellness center, an innovation lab for our science program, and an office for our counselor and others. The whole bottom floor will undergo renovation to create more light and provide a better learning environment. The main floor will have a welcoming, prominent entrance to promote our motto of all are welcome. On the top floor, we will be expanding our library, including spaces for collaboration and even a broadcast center so that our community can have a positive impact on the media.
I've been a member of this parish since 1972, where I met Father McGovern, and he opened the door for me by handing me a box of envelopes, and I've never forgotten that day. My daughter went to school here, my grandson graduated from here, and Holy Family to me is a parish with relationships, love, and outreach. I could never consider ever leaving Holy Family. It's my parish.
I would like to speak to the people of Holy Family. Not only the people in the pews, but I'd like to speak to each and every one of you who live stream and pray with us every Sunday. And you too belong to the living community of Holy Family, the faith community. This is where we pray, where we celebrate, we give thanks. I'd like to speak about Father Albert's campaign, Faith in the Future. Way back in 1928, just 300 families got together. They made up the community of Holy Family at that time, and they built the church which we now use. They didn't need a church this big. They gifted us with this church. Their sacrifices became our blessing. And would you believe, about 30 years ago, when I was young at Holy Family, the community got together again and said, we have to gift the future. And so the property, which is now the youth center, was acquired. The giving bank was acquired. And the community built what is now called the education center for our children. Now it comes to us, the privilege given to us to gift the future. The church is in bad need of repairs, significant repairs. And our education center, the manner in which we cultivate the young people and support the young people in their journey of faith, is also in need of redevelopment. That happens. Things get old, things get out of date, and we need now to claim the privilege of gifting the future. So I'm speaking to each and every one of you with confidence. I know you. We have been together for a long time. Not only do I know you, but I love you, and you know that. So come with me now and become part of the privilege of gifting the future. I know that each and every one of you will make a donation. I know that because I know you. But I want to appeal to you to give a generous donation. And thank you for belonging to me and allowing me to belong to you for all these years. God bless you.
My wife, Jeanette, and I are more than happy to be part of the community that are donating to this renovation. I look at it first as our parish church. The fact that I have personal historical links to the architecture only makes that more enhanced. But I'm happy to be part of the restoration of the church, and more than happy to be part of the community that is supporting the school work and the new programming that is necessary.
Join us in this campaign.
The Holy Family Faith in Our Future Capital Campaign is a campaign that can involve giving a gift over the period of years rather than just a one-time gift.
Our campaign, rooted in faith, joy, and love, has already begun, and we have over $5 million in pledges. Now, we need your support and generosity to help us reach our $8 million goal and ensure a bright future for Holy Family.